Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from three short passages in the New Testament. First, out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples just before he's ascended into heaven. And he says this, "Therefore," he said, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then out of the Gospel of Matthew, this time in chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. "And then he," Jesus, "called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul?'" And then finally, out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Well, in the 1880s, a few years ago, well, over 100 years ago, Charles Sheldon wrote a fictional book entitled In His Steps, inspired by that passage in 1 Peter in chapter 2 that we just read. Many of you may have read the book or heard of the book, but it became popular again for a period about 25 years ago, 30 years ago. When I read the book at that time for the first time, it became, at that moment, second only to God's Word in the Bible as having an earth-shaking and uncomfortable impact on my life and walk of faith from that point on. I also shared a copy of it with Linda's dad, who was one of the great men in my life. And it moved him as well, even though he had lived his life so much like that. It still moved him to even more as we discussed it and read it together. It's the story of a minister by the name of Henry Maxwell, pastor of the First Church of Raymond, who turned away a dirty, disheveled-looking, homeless-appearing man, one of society's outcasts, who one Friday afternoon had the audacity to knock at the front door of Maxwell's home, asking for some help, for some food, for a place to stay. But Maxwell didn't help him because he was too busy working on his Sunday morning sermon that he needed to deliver in 2 days. And after his rejection of that man at his home, Reverend Maxwell had things begin to occur to him that started to shake him, including that homeless man showing up during the next Sunday service a few days later and sitting on the front row. Other things which caused him to forever change his and the church's response to what he perceived and they began to perceive as the call of God on their lives forever, and in the responsibility to touch the world around them for good. It caused him to begin to challenge himself and his church to move beyond just believing, just reading about, just singing a few verses in a hymn about Christ, but to live lives that put that belief into action. And not just in a nice sermon, as I said, or a few hymns, or a few dollars in the local community ministry or homeless shelter, all good stuff, but not just that. It caused him to challenge both himself and others to move beyond simply accepting the gift through Christ of eternal life with God because of what Christ did for us on the cross, and to begin to share that with others and help others because of that gift that was given to us and we accepted. To move beyond the walls of the church, the box, the institution, or the comfort of their homes and the satisfaction of personal productive work, content with their own well-being, to instead, though, begin to live lives fleshing out Christ that was within them and what they believed Christ was calling them to do, to sacrificially help others as Christ did, to move beyond where they were to reach out to the world around them and touch a lost and hurting world and lost and hurting lives in desperate need of help, of a lift up, but also the saving grace of Christ in their lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor, a theologian living in Nazi Germany times. And he spoke out against the Nazis many times. He's very outspoken. And he also spoke out against the church there for not doing enough to stop Hitler and what he was doing. He was thereafter accused of being part of a group to overthrow Hitler and was convicted in a trial and hung in April of 1945. Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship, which is another one of those impact books for me and many of you. And in it, he wrote that as believers and followers of Christ, we're called to move beyond what he called cheap grace, that is, the free gift of salvation. We don't have to do anything for it. Christ did it for us on the cross. We simply need to accept it. It's free. Bonhoeffer referred to it as cheap grace. Grace from God, cheap, didn't cost us anything. But to move beyond that to living a life of costly grace, to live a life that reflects the sacrifice of Christ, a life of our own, of sacrificial service, which follows in Christ's steps and his example, where? All the way to the cross. In the book, In His Steps by Sheldon, the church members were challenged to live their lives 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, sacrificially, by asking the question, what would Jesus do in any situation that they faced, and then to act upon where they felt God was guiding them, directing them, with an answer that he placed in their hearts, to do it. The scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, which we read earlier, inspired the book title, as you could tell, and calls each of us to move beyond our personal comfort zones. Again, the passage says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps, Scott. The lifestyle adopted by the members of the First Church of Raymond in Charles Sheldon's 1880 book led to a popular movement. You may remember it around this country, of people wearing wristbands and pins and other mementos inscribed with the phrase, what would Jesus do? Or the acronym, WWJD. We saw them everywhere, especially worn in churches and ministry huddles for our youth and other groups. It was great to see that awareness rising up of people that wanted to follow and to do what Jesus would do in a certain situation. But sadly, though, after a time, they seem to become little more than a phrase or letters on a wristband or on a pin, little more than just a verse, with little action toward living it out with the same sacrificial service of which Jesus spoke and lived. The Jesus we serve, the Jesus of the empty tomb that he rose from over 2,000 years ago, calls you and me to a much different walk with him once we ourselves have accepted his free gift of eternal life. And it's a walk that we're not often comfortable to take because it's hard. But notice the command of Christ that we also read as we started this morning, when he spoke to the 11 remaining disciples after he was raised from the tomb and spent time with them and many others before he ascended into heaven. And he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go and make what? Believers? Not just believers. He said, go and make disciples, those who not only believe in Christ, which is an essential requirement, first step in becoming his disciple, but those who need a lift up as well, and who need to also use everything they have, their blessings of time, their blessings of talent, their gifts and abilities, the resources God has given them, to also go with us to the other side of our communities and throughout the world, to all the nations, and have an impact all the way to the cross. And how many should we go to and help and make disciples of? Just a few? what, 2 or 3 a week maybe would be good? Is there a minimum number that will win us the, quote, Distinguished Cross Award, close quote? Do we go to just whomever we have time for? Maybe we set aside a certain day of the week where we do that. Maybe just those who are close by to us. Maybe just those who seem approachable, easy to talk to about this, those willing to listen to us. Maybe the most needy, maybe the least needy, something we can just do easily. Nope. None of those, actually all of those are included, but none of those by themselves is the right answer. But here's the right answer. Go and help. Go and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, everywhere, always, until we take our last breath. Think about this for a moment. What if we, you and I, started each day of our lives with a commitment to do that, with a commitment to be aware of every second of when, how, and where we can make a difference in the life of someone around us, someone who God brings to us, someone who comes before, someone we seek out, someone we see in the office, at work, at home, on the side of the road, wherever. Think about the impact that this group alone can have. And I'm thinking about each one of you who are on this call today, each one of you listening to this now. And then think of the ripples of impact that our commitment and our efforts would have on the lives of someone else around us to do the same for someone else. It could make a difference, a real difference in the world around us, one life at a time. Now, today, every day, until we take our last breath. Has our experience with the risen Christ lately or through the years moved us, inspired us, encouraged us, and challenged us to move beyond just believing, just talking, just reading, just singing, beyond the walls of our churches, beyond our homes, to a sacrificial walk of helping others? It needs to. Too much is at stake in the world, and there is too little time left for us to do it. And he calls us to do it every day. I'm sure every one of you has heard this story before, but maybe today is the day where we hear it afresh and anew and commit to live this story out and the example and in his steps and the example and the calling in Bonhoeffer's book, Cost of Discipleship, to live it out every day of our lives. It's a story of a man who was walking on the beach and noticed thousands of starfish had washed up and were stranded on the sand. As he continued to walk, he noticed another man in the distance coming his way. As he got closer, he noticed the other man was stooping down and picking up one starfish at a time, then throwing it back into the surf. Waste of time, the first man thought as he watched this unfold before him. Holy mackerel, what a waste of time. He watched the other man doing this for a time and could no longer resist the urge to speak to him. So he walked up to him and asked, "Why are you doing that? Can't you see that there are thousands of these starfish washed up on the shore? There's no way you can save even half of them. So why does what you are doing even matter?" The second man paused for a brief moment to listen politely to the gentleman, questioning his behavior. And then he stooped down again to pick up another starfish. And as he threw the starfish back into the ocean, he looked back to the first man and simply replied, "It matters to that one." That was Linda's dad. That's the example he set for so many and for me. That's the life he lived that impacted so many every day, following Christ's example and walking in his steps. I saw and know what he did and the difference he made in the world. Is that you? Is that me? What will you do? What will I do? How will you walk in Christ's steps? What difference will your life and mine begin to make today in the lives of those around us, right where we're planted and in all the world? Just something for us to think about today, or maybe not to think about, but to put into action today for all the world. One step and one life at a time. Let me pray for us. Father, Thank you. Thank you for a book that's timeless. Thank you for the message. But it's your message. You helped him write it and had him write it. Thank you for Bonhoeffer's book. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your example more than anything. Help us, Lord. Empower us, strengthen us, challenge us, poke us, pull us to follow your example, to walk in your steps, one step at a time, with you, sacrificially, all the way to the cross. Help us to be that. Thank you for that privilege to do it. And thank you for the never-ending reminder and example that you give us every day, that as we do that, you go with us, never leaving us, always walking with us, before us, ahead of us, behind us, lifting us when we need to be lifted. Thank you. Help us to do that with you, Lord, by your example, sacrificially in your steps to make a difference in the lives around us. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.